I think what we are looking at as a problem is actually an opportunity. So let's embrace ourselves, embrace uncertainty, and look at it with all our creativity to say, how do we go forward? And how do we make sure that we are still very well connected and we feel engaged?
So welcome back to BLA Connections, A Clear Voice, as we embark on series 2 of our podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Watson, and I'm delighted to bring you discussions and insights from experts from across the globe on all things laryngology. We have been humbled by the reception of our first series. At last count, we have now been listened to in over 60 countries and charted in over 15 Apple Podcast charts. Our first series brought to you information, discussions, and perceptions on the COVID-19 pandemic and laryngology. We will revisit a lot of what we've covered, and we will endeavour to provide more information on how we move forward as we navigate out of the pandemic and what this will mean for our specialism and how we will practice today and into the future. In today's episode, we will be discussing training and leadership with Sam Majumder, a full-time consultant surgeon and honorary senior lecturer at the University of Dundee Medical School and Nine Wells Hospital, NHS Scotland. He is a founding member of the British Laryngological Association and served on the council since 2013. He is the lead clinician for laryngology and voice and swallowing disorders with transnasal esophagoscopy and endoscopy and difficult airway service at this centre, which he has developed. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sam.
Hello. Hi, Natalie. Thank you. It's so kind of you to give such a wonderful introduction early in the morning. It's an absolute pleasure to join you and discuss the impact of COVID.
Well, thank you very much. Well, let's get straight into the topic of the week, which is training and leadership. So firstly, let's tackle, how do you think COVID has affected training in your area?
Well, the short answer is significantly. And the way to look at this, I like people to reflect on a system. Now, training is for all our trainees who are here to become consultants, i.e. capable enough to deliver service in their own specialties, wherever they are, to the people who are coming to them and giving them the privilege to look after them. Safe, effective, and patient-centered, high-quality care. Now, if we keep that in mind, you could immediately start seeing things, i.e., what happened to the system? Now, COVID, in a metaphorical term, has given us an opportunity to see what happens if a system is quite significantly disrupted. You can think about a cruise ship which has got a trouble in the middle of the stormy sea, a bit like that. How do we get over it, and how do we continue to do what we do? In training, there are certain aspects which is absolutely necessary, i.e. the trainees are allowed to be in their space with their trainers, with their colleagues, with their patients. And you could immediately see how it has affected that because of the distancing and the necessity to create space which is infection-free, also the necessity to create space which is infection-full, i.e. the different areas like blue areas, green areas, and COVID areas, etc. So at the very beginning, we saw our preparation and that a feeling of impending doom, that all the operating theatres were cleaned up to put ventilators in.
Yeah.
Many of our clinics were taken over to create space. Many of the spaces where these trainees sat down and rested were taken out. Like, for example, in my place, you can't go to the doctor's mess. The only place the doctors go, i.e. mostly the trainees. Some of them even sleep there overnight because they have nowhere to sleep at night when they're doing their long 12-hour shift. So what you see that there was issue which has significantly disrupted the system. In this case, the system that was delivering training. So in the operating theater, we are no longer able to operate for a while until we could work out what kind of mask that we need to wear to stop the AGP affecting us and affecting our staff. So what you see here that is basically a massive disruption. As a result of that, there was a significant cut in the number of hours the trainees spent face-to-face with patients, along with their trainers, in the operating theater, doing operations, etc. So if you just put that together, you immediately see that the trainees who actually get much less number of hours of training nowadays because of all other restrictions, i.e. European Working Time Directives, that got significantly reduced. And as a result of that, everything has shown up.
Absolutely. And with telephone clinics, it really impacted on face-to-face time with your trainer because potentially those were being done at home. So it put another barrier in how to ask questions or get some guidance or training throughout that as well, didn't it?
Absolutely. It took us a little bit of time. We did Attend Anywhere video training. So I organized a quality improvement afternoon in March 2009. Little did I know at that time that we'd be facing COVID, the tsunami of crisis out here. And I organized a training and day for our department, which is exactly 1 year ago, and how to hold conversation and consultations with patients. We have been doing it for a while in our laryngology section of the department. And so we stepped in quite quickly with the video, i.e. Attend Anywhere NHS clinics. As you said, it's not an easy thing to do because suddenly you are talking to a person who is your patient on the screen. And you have to be careful about what questions you're asking, what you're doing, and there are certain difficulties, i.e. in terms of examination of the patient. It is almost okay for my voice because I could at least hear the voice. I couldn't examine them, but that was a good start. Same with the telephone clinics.
And it's all about going back to medical school, isn't it? And really focusing on just the history alone. And really, as we know, kind of 80% of all diagnoses are made just by the history. But still, it's still quite an art to just try and guess what the diagnosis is or what's going on if you just have the history alone and have no kind of examination markers. And we're so used to examining in these, you know, small orifices to give us some more clues to help with our management.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. Look, I come from the old days. You know, I started my training in the 1980s. And I was, in the NHS in 1988, which is a awful lot of time ago. And we did not have many of the things that we have in the clinics nowadays. Forget about tip, 4K, in a stack system to see the inside of somebody's throat with endoscopes. So history was very important. And suddenly I realized for myself that, look, if you can delve into the history taking, you have already made significant progress, major understanding of what is it that the patient's asking you, what is it that they need, what is the outcome that the person you're talking to is looking for. And then it helped us prioritize who needs to now come to the clinic. And in that clinic, as you remember, the early days, we were seeing probably 3, 4, or 5 patients in a setting because of all sorts of processes we put into it. So if you look at that, that helped us in a way, early days, learning first to say, like, this is the way we do things and improve. So we started getting trainees to come and sit with us and listen to what we do, both the telephone, and we managed to hold MDT meetings as well because you can connect on the Attend Anywhere, a number of people. Our X-ray meetings, our MDT meetings are, say, meetings with the families in the same way. On the other side, in terms of training, we created simulation training afternoons. So we allowed our trainees to come to our simulation lab and spend time with one consultant at a time in each specialty to spend time to have the hands-on experience of operating on teal cadavers. So that's the kind of cadavers we have here, which lasts for a long time. Mm-hmm. Unlike the formalin cadavers it is also a very supple, the tissues. So it's a good quality cadavers and in our simulation lab. So trainees once a week started coming to learn some of the operating procedures. I also opened up an invitation to all trainees, those who are getting ready for exam and those who are at other stages of their learning, to say that if any of them want a one-to-one session, any days of the week that they're free, I could accommodate them for an hour or two to have one-to-one session where they could learn an aspect of their learning, i.e. say somebody wants to learn about how to manage tracheal stenosis, somebody wants to learn how to deal with a patient who is unable to swallow, I could spend time with them. I think in our department, every consultant has offered these kind of opportunities for trainees to learn. Also, we have encouraged trainees to sit down, read, and write at the same time. So, you know, in summary, what we are trying to do, we are trying to see what can we do to optimize with what we have at this moment. With that mentality, you survive in hard time.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, the Dundee trainees are very lucky. So let's move on to the next question. So you run a number of courses, and this course has been really affected by COVID. How can we really reintroduce courses or develop them to cater for the new rules around COVID?
See, courses are very important, and it allows a number of opportunities. And most importantly, it allows you to get out of where you are and meet people and meet trainers and meet your own colleagues that allow you to, you know, learn and learning together. This sense of togetherness is a very important part of courses. However, COVID didn't allow us to do that. So the first course that we had to cancel was our most needed and most important course, the Advanced Laryngeal and Pharyngeal Laser and Endoscopic Surgery course that was actually due in September. And it is one of the biggest simulation course, but we couldn't, because it usually attracts participants from many countries and coming over. So going back to your point, how do we go forward? Yeah. So the way to go forward, which we have already started, I'll give you the example of what has already happened here, is what do we need to work out? What is it that the course is trying to deliver? Mm-hmm. Is it a course where people interact with each other to learn from each other? But it does not involve any hands-on work. So you don't have to do anything. Or is it a course where hands-on work is necessary? And in between, there is also a course where you can learn from somebody doing something. You learn how to, for example, do arytenoidectomy, or how to do a vocal fold injection, or how to do a radical mastoidectomy, whatever you needed to learn. Now, so the first form of courses can be very easily delivered through Zoom. And we have recently delivered from Dundee our third Scottish International Conference, which is conducted from here, to delivered from here, the university, last week on the 18th of September. And we had 296 delegates from 83 countries. It was most amazing, I think, that to see that all these people joined in, and we had a whole day course where various aspects of complications of head and neck surgery was discussed. And coming away from that, so a course that delivers experts' knowledge is easy. You could quickly switch into the Zoom or Teams mode, depending on what number of people you are going to take on board. Zoom is probably the best way to go forward because it allows a lot of people to get into in attending the course, but it has an expense attached to it, which is slightly more expensive than Teams, depending on what setup you have. The next one is to see someone operating and taking you through the steps. You can either do it through live streaming, also you can video it, which BLA was trying to achieve for a while, and deliver it through our website step by step. If you look at it, you could pick up 10 to 15 cases, which are most important thing to learn about. I think items of surgery, and every specialty has their own bread and butter, and then you could deliver that way. The most difficult thing is, of course, going to be where people have to arrive and get hands-on experience. I think that at this moment is going to be difficult unless you organize a number of days when you split up and give training to a very small number of participants. For example, we have a CT interview course for core trainees in Edinburgh, which is coming up in a few weeks' time, which I have set up and directed for a number of years. So where we had to really work hard to create the sensing mechanisms to make sure that everybody is safe. So it is possible to do that. Also, don't forget, it is also possible to do local courses. This is an opportunity for every locality, every hospital to start doing their own courses for their own trainees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. Well, let's go on to our third question here now. With your background in working towards a doctorate in leadership and management, can you explore the impact of studying the clinical microsystem and system organizational management in ENT on your work? Or how COVID has impacted this?
Natalie, the most important aspects of leadership is the word lead, which is a verb. Every time we use leadership, the word leadership, we forget that it actually involves leading. And leading is very well understood is when you look at the verb and apply it to a person or first person singular number, a noun. Me, you, and someone else, and to say what is this person doing with what this person is supposed to do, that comes with a couple of things: accountability and responsibility. So, are we doing what we are supposed to do well, efficiently? You know, and with that in mind, you'll see if you look at the whole literature of leadership, you'll come across three words that has been mentioned time and again. Three things, three attributes that makes a good leader, which is a core attributes. One is honesty, the other one is integrity, and the last one is ingenuity. And if you look at that, you'll quickly find those in ingenuity has looked at quite creatively, developed and ideas and ways to survive in many difficulties. So when you have these three, then you can start thinking that you would be able to survive. Now, put that in the context of COVID and the organization. The organization, i.e. a healthcare organization, is just a conglomeration of millions of people together, human beings working. So leadership is very, very important here. And we see the chaos that kind of kicked in as we heard about the COVID. But you also see how coherently and cohesively the fellows and the members of the British Laryngology Association has worked together, used, for example, their internet emails to get together to come out with ideas how we should work and how we should make it possible to work. And you've seen, especially in London, where the caseload was massive, how people have tried to survive. So how do we do it? The question is, we need to create an ability to work together in a symbiosis where we know what the outcome that we are looking for. For example, how do you run our clinics? You can see that WhatsApp conversation all the time, this is coming up. Shall we be using filtration mask again? Shall we be going back to using TNO? Shall we be doing some procedures that we thought we couldn't do earlier? But the question is this, is what is the outcome that you're looking for? How can we deliver it safely, of course, with this? At the same time, you have to keep in mind, how about those who are still waiting for their treatment, what efficiency comes in? I'll give an example of how do we deliver care, say, for example, laryngology clinic in here. Now, it took us a number of weeks to get our gears back in place so we could run. But the way to do that is to, first of all, work out who needs the treatment, i.e. prioritization, who is going to deliver the treatment, and who is going to be with this person, and where are you going to deliver it from? And then how are you going to, within an organization, let within that microsystem, make sure that everybody is leading what they do at their best? And then don't forget, you'll have to then communicate with your next door neighbor, another clinical microsystem, and then the rest of the macro system and rest of the people above you, i.e. the junior managers, the middle grade managers, and the senior managers. So most importantly is this communication, that of threads of communication, which will help you to deliver this. So please remember here, by communication, I mean engagement. In absence of engagement, you would never create empathy. Empathy will only come through engagement. And in absence of empathy, there'll be no compassion. So we talk about communication all the time, but a good, well-networked family has empathy connecting each other, compassion connecting each other. So that's the most important thing. If you look at the network of our central nervous system, you can see how well it stuck together and working together. If you want to make sure that organization, i.e. from the clinical microsystem to the entire organization, is delivering well, they're not just living, but they're thriving, we have to make sure that we engage with each other with the ability to lead and also the ability to follow. If we can't do that, if we can't engage, then we wouldn't understand each other. There'll be no empathy. And in absence of empathy, there'll be no compassion. I.e., it's very important to understand compassion in this situation, that we have to deliver. To be able to deliver, you need the energy of compassion, that you can do it. And if you don't have the support within the environment, not living in a symbiotic environment and a good, well-developed ecosystem, you're not going to be able to deliver it. So you can see that you have to come back into the state and deliver from your heart.
Yeah, well, that's very powerful. Thank you. I really struck a chord when you talked about communication, because I feel that COVID has really impacted on communication, because we are told to be distanced. And so remote working is, of course, kind of favored. And therefore, the communication and interaction between colleagues has been completely limited for the last 6 months. Have you found that?
We have found that face-to-face communication has gone down. But I'll just give you an example. You're a part of our and a British Language Association where we are talking to each other all the time on text messaging. We have our own group. And you can see how active that group was at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
So the one very important part of communication is one's heartfelt need to connect to another person, not to wait that the other person will connect with you. So I think what we could do, and we have done quite a lot in our area, that we have sent messages. There's so many ways you can send messages. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been using Teams for a long, long time because of my research work, but it has never been so busy.
Yeah.
Now, because I now have a calendar full of, you know, messages and stuff and things and saying hello, and even asking my PhD students, my own PhD students, MSc students and others to say, how are you getting on today? Now, what we think is lost is still can be kind of supplemented. You know, we have many ways to connect. And I totally agree with you. And I feel really sad that we have lost that face-to-face connections, ability to see people. But I think keeping in the mind is what's missing. Like you and I would do as a doctor, we have to find a way of how do we supplement the function. So if somebody who has a larynx or part of a larynx, how do we make this person speak again? So we are very good at these things, aren't we? So why don't we start looking at it creatively to say, what's the way forward? Instead of saying, oh my God, everything has been lost. So let's embrace ourselves, embrace uncertainty, and look at it too, with all our creativity to say, how do we go forward? And how do we make sure that we are still very well connected and we feel engaged? We don't feel that, don't say we are connected. We actually feel the feeling of engagement.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your experience of how trainees have been affected, how you and your colleagues found ways to adapt training in your area, how courses have changed and how we are trying to adjust for the safe distancing measures in delivering courses. And finally, thank you for explaining the golden aspects of leadership and management, particularly in these unprecedented times, and the importance of communication. So what are your take-home messages you'd like our listeners to take home with today?
I think the most important take-home message here is to reflect, look at it and think mindfully. Where are we going? Now, every catastrophe, every crisis in life comes with encrypted messages within it that tells us how to get out of it. It doesn't only say that, how to get out of it. There are also secret messages out there to say we can do even better than the best. And these messages won't unravel to ourselves unless we have insightful thinking. So I will say that embrace everyone around you, lead from the heart, and embrace uncertainty, and stay focused on the journey, not just the destination, just the whole journey. And that's the way the human being has always survived, if we look at it. And that's the way to go. So lead from the heart. Remember that the only way forward is lead with compassion and empathy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We hope you have enjoyed listening. This has been BLA Connections, A Clear Voice. I have been your host, Natalie Watson. Please feel free to email with any topics you would like us to explore, any questions you have, along with any suggested experts you would like to hear from. Also, if you would like to contribute to these podcasts, please email inquiries@britishlaryngological.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope you found our podcast informative. Please remember to subscribe and do leave a review with your podcast provider. We do appreciate your likes, subscribes, and reviews.